Hello and welcome to the BSG podcast. I am your only host, Chase. How are you guys doing today? This is BSG, guys. I hope you're excited for our next episode on this. We're going to be doing a discussion on playing games, and I fucked up right there because I said we. Quinn's here.
Hello, I am back. If you don't know who I am, don't worry. I am the
second host.
Member of BSG. We're an informative biweekly podcast focused on gaming news and discussions. On Mondays, we go over the news for the week, covering everything gaming without the BS. And on Wednesdays, we pick a juicy topic to cover or a game to review and give our half-informed opinions. As you can tell by Chase's excitement and hatred all at the same time, I am back. And he had to fend for himself on the podcast for quite a while.
Did you listen to the last episode, Quinn?
I haven't listened to the last, the news episode, I haven't listened to it, but I assume from Chase's reaction that he shit-talked me all the way to the moon and back.
A fuck ton.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the topic for this week was that I had two very long plane rides, one 18 hours, one 16 hours, followed by a two-hour public transportation. So, basically two 18-hour things without internet. And without a long list of things to do. So, the topic today are how did I survive and how does that involve games and other technology and how to prepare your own self for long flights or long bouts.
For this disaster, this, you know, first world disaster that occurs.
Right, where you lose internet and you just have to struggle and figure out what to do with your life. So
that's guys, if you want to get a hold of us, go on to Twitter at BS Gamers Podcast, where you can share your opinions about playing games that you've played and how much bullshit it is that you don't have Wi-Fi on these fucking planes in 2019. Fucking shit. Okay. Anyways, yes, but more importantly, what could they do for us, Quinn?
If you like Chase's anger today, you can leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen to our sweet podcast on. I do want to say, though, if you're thinking about, maybe I'll give these fellas a 3 stars or lower. Hey, hold it.
Don't even think about 4.
Well,
oh, there's that dog that's... I was telling you about. Exactly. I think that's mine, though.
If you're thinking about doing anything less than, you know, 4.55, head on over to Twitter. Give us your critiques. We're really looking to improve the podcast in any way, shape, or form. I know you want to put down those dogs, but we can't do that.
I've been trying to since the beginning.
Anything else would really help us out, just any critique in general. And if we improve on those requests, then maybe, just maybe, you could give us that sweet, sweet 5-star review.
I'm already
dead inside.
I'm already dead inside. Yeah. All right, Quinn, are you ready to jump into some of your games that you played on your flight?
Yes, I am. I am ready. And the first thing here is to describe my strategy going into it. Okay. So I had 3 distinct technologies that I was going to be using in order to enjoy, or I guess last, 18 hours with nothing to do. The first of which was my Kindle, which allows me to read books, and I read a lot. I read like 30 hours on this trip.
Did you finish Way of Kings?
I didn't, but it says I'm like 70% through it, okay. Which is 30 hours.
Which means you won't
30
finish
plus.
Because you, we know how
no,
you
I'm gonna finish.
Stuff.
I'm gonna finish it, all right, you bitch. The second was my laptop. But the issue with my laptop is that in a flight where you're in the economy class or the lowest class of the flight, you don't have a whole lot of room to place a 15-inch laptop. It's just not going to work. So that ultimately didn't get used. But like I said, I read a lot. And the last thing was my phone. And the games or technologies like Netflix, you can download stuff. Videos on YouTube, if you have YouTube Plus, you can download videos. All that stuff. What did I do with my phone that allowed me to survive?
Well, so I have a question first before you go into that. Wouldn't you use the fourth technology, which is the TV that's installed in the back of the seat in front of you?
Technically, there's that. I only watched one movie over the combo of those two flights.
Okay, so we have 4 technologies, Quinn.
All right, for technologies, my name's Chase.
All right, anyways, now you can go to the games. Go ahead.
Yeah, getting to my phone. So I have an iPhone, and like we actually talked about in a previous news podcast, we talked about how Apple released their Apple Arcade, which is a subscription service where you get 100 or 100 plus, I guess, really quality games that you can just download for free.
With a subscription, you mean? I mean, right, you got right. This with for free because it's 1 month free, right?
Right. So like every subscription service, they usually give you a month free. Ultimately, it's $4.99 a month, but you get 100 plus games that you can just download and play whenever you want. So I downloaded, or I got the free month, and I downloaded, let's see, it looks like 14 games. All right. I could have downloaded more, but man, I was getting annoyed. Actually, only 13 of these are free from the Apple Arcade. The last one I got, which was Binding of Isaac, I got because I already know I enjoy the game and I have like 100 plus hours in it on Steam.
Oh yeah, that's so a good game. I played on the Nintendo 3DS. It was pretty fun. It was very Binding short though, in a sense. Like once you get it down, you're just beating it over and over and over again. I stopped losing.
To a newcomer, yeah. But ultimately what happens is you have... there are soft caps in the game where you have to beat a boss 5 times before you unlock like part 2 of the game. But I knew that from playing Binding of Isaac, Binding of Isaac Rebirth, and the other Binding of Isaac. Basically, this game has been remade and revamped like 3 different times. And I have like 400 hours in this series in total. And so I know that there's a lot of replay value in this. Yeah, you have to beat it a couple times, but after you beat Mom's Heart. Once you beat Mom's Heart, then it unlocks like a bunch of other stages of bosses. And that even goes further once you beat that a bunch of times. And then it just keeps going further and further. It takes a long time to get through a run of this game. It can arguably, with everything unlocked, it could take you an hour and a half or something. Anyways, if you have like a really good build, it can take far longer if you're grinding your way through. Anyways, so that was sort of my the if everything goes wrong with all these shitty Apple games, then I can use Binding of Isaac. But I actually played some of these games, and they're not too bad, and I want to talk about a few of them. I'm going to talk about specifically the ones that I downloaded first, and then you can tell me if you've heard of them, or if you've ever played them, or if you'd be interested in them, and all right. We can go from there. Sound good?
Okay, let's do it.
So the first one is called Word Laces. Now, this one is garbage.
it already sounded garbage when you said it.
So it's essentially... All it is, you get a jumble of letters, and you just have to make a word out of it. That is literally it.
As fast as possible, or is it just like chain?
It's more casual. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that like sets this game apart from just any other letter/word game
is it's not free.
it arguably isn't free, but there's a puzzle aspect to it as well. So not only are you trying to make words out of letters, but you have to combine the letters in a specific order because you're also weaving shoelaces through them. So you can't depending on how the letters line up, you can't cross them and tie them together because you're using a shoelace. And so it can only go crisscross, like it can only go from one side of the shoe to the other or up or down, and it can't do these specific patterns. So there is like a puzzle aspect to it, but my god, I got bored of this game instantly.
Were the puzzles too simple for you?
I think it's the combo of the majority of the game is really easy. Like it takes you never takes you more than 30 seconds to get through one of these things, unless you don't know how to spell, or once it gets to like more complicated words. But ultimately it's fairly simple and fairly straightforward, fairly easy to just breeze through. And ultimately when you're on a long flight, you don't want something that takes you 30 seconds, because 30 seconds does not dent the time you're in the air.
I don't know if we're laughing because of what you're saying, Quinn, or because I just keep typing into Discord all the times that this fucking dog barks and I just want to fucking murder it. So guys, so listeners, you probably will not hear most of these barks and you'll be like, it wasn't that annoying. It's because I took a fuck ton of them out.
He's going to be editing for days.
Kill me. Yeah, War Laces doesn't sound that good. I played a similar game to that called Calm Mind, which there's a lot of them, or like Word Calm. And it's basically the same idea where it's not really a puzzle aspect, but it's like you're trying to get words together and they're in a certain fashion and you're trying to go through the levels in that way. And it's not that fun. It's the same, but it's the same concept. It's like you have five letters and it's in a circle and you have to drag across them to in order to make a word. So like it's it's in the same vein and they get pretty boring. It's like fun for at most an hour. But after that, it's like it's a shitty gimmick. Like Words with Friends, I think it's called. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
that one's far better because there's interactivity and there's like a challenge between you and the player or the your friend. I don't know if you've played that before. It's like Scrabble.
Right. No. Yeah. I play. There's a lot of games that basically since mobile games started coming out, word games were always there. You know, they've been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
Move
on to the next game.
So next game. This is actually the game I not put the most time into, but I actually beat. So I went through and I was like, okay, I Word Laces sucked. Now moving on to the next game, and the next game was called Pilgrims. Now, this is actually a game I was looking forward to because I knew about this game prior to Apple Arcade. This game is made by the people that did Throne, or no, is it Thrones, or... Let me see. Oh, no. They made Machinarium. Machinarium, you know that game?
I know Insane Aquarium, that... fish game that we used to play all the time.
No, not well. Actually, that is also one of the Apple Arcade games.
Yeah,
I didn't download it though.
You should have played it.
Machinarium is a point and click adventure puzzle game that was really well received. Okay, and so Pilgrims is also a point and click puzzle game, but it's fairly short, and you can essentially replay it by each puzzle has multiple answers.
Mm.
And so what you can do is you can basically solve the puzzles, get through the entirety of the game with different cards, because this is also a deck building game in a way. So you go throughout the world and you can add items to your deck or your hand. It's not really a deck, it's more of your hand. Much like, I mean, point-and-click adventure games have this already where you can just add things to your inventory. But the deck serves as your inventory. And you can interact with other characters in the game. You can control other characters in the game and have them use specific items. And that's basically the entirety of the game. Now, it was interesting for about an hour. It probably took maybe an hour to beat. But after that, I had no interest to go back and find the other solutions for each puzzle.
Because you'd already solved it one way. Why would you want to try and solve it a different
way? Right. I had already solved it one way, and arguably there are some sections that, like, you'll go to one character, the logical character who's, like, closest to you, and you, like, go progressively further and further. And so you go to the closest character, and they're like, oh, I need whiskey, right? If you want me to help you with my gun, you need to give me whiskey. And you're like, okay, well, let's go to the bartender. Then you go to the bartender, and the bartender's like, if you want whiskey, you need to give me fish.
Sounds like a fetch quest already.
So it's basically one after the other. So you're like, okay, well, so in order to get the whiskey for the hunter, I have to get fish for the shopkeeper. And then you go to the stream, and you not only you need to get a fishing rod, and then you have to go to the guy who has the fishing rod, and he's like, oh, if you want the fishing rod, you have to make me happy. And then you're like, Okay, so that
so you give him a happy ending. Ah!
No, so you're like, you're just, and that's like the worst part too, is that the guy who holds the key to the rest of basically the domino effect of now you have the fishing rod, where you can get a fish, and then you can get the fish for the guy, and then you get the whiskey, and then you can get the gun. Like, that whole solution depends now on making a guy happy. And arguably, the game probably has a bunch of different ways to make him happy, but you have to make him happy twice in a row in order to get the fishing rod. So it's basically random guessing and checking of a bunch of random items.
So you gotta you have to give him two happy endings.
Yeah, you have to give him two. You have to do one from the front and then turn around and do one from the back.
Oh, you're pegging him. Nice.
So it's kind of annoying because it's this one guy who holds the domino effect, right, toppling everything over, has a obscure ask of you, obscure request. And I guess that's where the fun would arguably, or the replayability would come in, is that you can solve the solution in a number of ways. But ultimately, there was no, like, goal of, I need to go get this item in order to make him happy. It was like, okay, I need to go get as many items as possible, try them in as many combinations as possible, and just fail repeatedly until I solve this guy's puzzle. And there were some instances like that throughout the game where you're trying to solve these, like, obscure puzzles in order to get the more linear puzzles solved and get to the ending. And although it was only an hour long, that was enough to be like, okay, I don't need to complete this game again in any other way. That was good enough for me.
I think you like these type of games because they're quick for you.
No, I did not like
it. You didn't like this one? Okay, but you liked it definitely a lot better than Word Laces.
Oh, yeah. So Pilgrims is a good phone game. Easy. Okay. Because you can sit down for an hour and beat it. Done.
How was the story?
Story was pretty good. It was kind of interesting. It's like
I was reading about it, it said it's a Czech fairy tale like imagining or something like that.
Right. So it's like the drawings are kind of interesting. It's all very Eastern European looking, and you like the devil. You need to give the devil this guy because he's taking his soul. And like it's kind of dark, but it's also not so dark. Like it's fun and childlike, but more of like Grimm's fairy tales rather than like normal fairy tales, you know? Anyways, moving on to the next game that I actually played, and this is probably the game I played the most during the flight and also just on my stay at my destination, and that is What the Golf.
I have heard of that game.
So What the Golf,
you've played that game before though, right?
No. So What the Golf, the reason why you know about it is that it's been on the front page of the Epic Game Store for a while. Now it's not.
That's what it was.
But for a while it was. And currently What the Golf is rated 5th in terms of Metacritic score on iOS.
And it has a 4.6 for an iOS game. That is fucking amazing.
So what I liked about this game, so it's a golf. There's actually a theme throughout several of these games, but focusing on What the Golf is that it essentially uses the typical golf mechanic everyone is used to, where you have a direction you can point the golf ball in, and then you have a power slider, right? And they use that as a movement mechanic rather than just a golf mechanic. So what I mean by that is there will be puzzles where you are, let's say, an office chair, and you need to move into a house because it's moving day, quote unquote. Like, they use these weird, there's not a whole lot of story, but each individual level has like a miniature story of what's going on. So you play as an office chair in one instance, and you have to go
interesting now.
Right. So you play as an office chair, and you have to use the golfing move mechanic to get into a moving truck, And then the moving truck drives to a house, and then you become the house, and you're the old house, and now you have to move to the new location. So you use the golf move mechanic, and you fling the house across the land until you get to the new location.
It kind of reminds me of like a variation of Katamari Damacy. If you
remember. So there is a Katamari. So essentially, the game, it's broken down into themes, level themes, and how they work. So for instance, there's the chair is a theme. There's levels based around the chair and its movement mechanics around the golfing mechanic. And then there is a Katamari Damacy theme where you have to collect as many things in order to beat the level, or even a Donut County theme, which is another indie game. And Donut County was about it's the opposite of Katamari Damacy. Instead of being a thing that collects and rolls into bigger and bigger, you're a hole in the ground that consumes and consumes until everything is consumed. So it's sort of the opposite of Katamari Damacy. And that indie game is also reflected in some of the levels where you play as the hole itself. So the hole you're trying to get the golf ball into, you play as the hole and you have to consume everything on the golf course.
I like their ideas. It seems like it's very wacky and it's very fun, and it's
right. It's very fun, wacky, and creative. It is very, very creative, and the mechanics change all the time. Sometimes it is a 3D game, and other times it's actually 2D. So, for instance, it becomes a platformer in some instances. Wow. Where the theme is just platforming. There are space levels where like there's no gravity, and that's also about platforming, but in a different way. Or where you're not playing as a golf ball, but you're playing as a rubber ball, and so you bounce a lot and you have to avoid obstacles and stuff like that. It's very interesting. It really makes me appreciate. I feel as if this is a PC or console game potentially. I don't know if it's on console, but it's on Epic Game Store, so I imagine it's probably also on console somewhat. I believe it's a console game or PC game that is improved by being on mobile. I think it is such a good concept in its own right.
And it looks really good game. Too. It's not actually.
Yeah, it's. It looks decent. It looks like a decent indie game. But the mechanics and the creativity behind them, so top-notch. So good. I admit it can become kind of boring and there's not a lot of depth. Like sometimes in terms of they'll introduce a really cool mechanic and then they won't really touch on it as many times. But there's one like there you play as a golf ball, or not a golf ball, a soccer ball, and you have to get to the goal, right? There's an actual physical goal you have to score in.
Wow.
When there are the obstacles are actual players and they can stop you and kick you off the map. Or so there's also in each level you can beat it up to three different times, where not necessarily the level itself, but each level has three potential goals. So the first one is just usually get to the objective with as many strokes as you need. Second one is usually a spin-off of that, where at first you maybe played the soccer ball, and then the second time you actually play the goal, right? And you play the goal and you have to score in the goal too. So it's like a weird spin-off of the first instance. And the third one is usually do the first instance, but you now have only like three strokes or three movements, whatever those may be.
So how much would you have been willing to pay for this game, just as a hypothetical?
I mean, so I think on Epic Games Store, it's $15.
It's more.
It's $20?
Yeah.
Wow. And I think on mobile, it's $5, yeah?
You can't get it on mobile anymore. You have to
do it. Oh, you have to use Apple Arcade.
Smart of them.
Mm. No, yeah, I think they do that in a lot of instances. But yeah, I don't know if that I'd pay $20 for this game.
I would have paid at most 10, and that's like pulling it too. I'm not saying it's a bad game anyway.
For me, I think it's a $15 game, easy.
Yeah, but when you're an iOS game, especially, you don't pay more than like $8, $7.
No, for iOS, I'd only pay $5.
Yeah,
even though arguably it's a better experience, I would only pay $5 for an iOS game at most.
I agree.
I actually spent $15 on Binding of Isaac, which was a retarded decision, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, What the Golf is a really good game. And honestly, because of some of the quality of these games, I really think if you're a mobile person, right, you play games on mobile, Apple Arcade is well worth it.
Yeah, with only $5. I've played a lot of mobile games in my life compared to you. Like right now, I'm still only playing free games, but there's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links or that's free. Matchland, which is a really fun puzzle game where it's very quick and easy to play for like a minute or two and then you're done.
Right.
And then there's Pokemon Go, but that's not the point. You're talking about more like games that you've paid for. Stardew Valley. Is that on the iOS?
It's not on Apple Arcade, but it is on iOS.
That's a very good game. I personally don't like it on the iOS. It's not as fun. But that is another game that has a very good story and very good graphics that you can get into.
I'll jump on to those like full-fledged games on iOS in a second here when I talk about Binding of Isaac. But I'm going to move on to the next game, which is Plague Inc., which has won tons of awards off of the mobile platform. Just like you make a virus and you have to use strategy and stuff to make your virus kill as many people and infect as many people as possible. So it's basically a strategy game where you build and it's like an RPG in a weird way where you – or not an RPG. It has RPG elements where you're like upgrading yourself to affect as many people as the world – in the world as you can. And I think it's a good game. It easily a good game. You could purchase it on iOS. I don't know if you can do so anymore. But it's a good game. Solid game. And, it was easy – to play. Honestly, I didn't play it as much as I probably could have. I think it's easy to play. The problem I have is that it's so... A lot of these games would work a lot better on an iPad. And I think, this is one of them. I think it helps to have more visual room. I've never had like an XL version of an iPhone. And I wear glasses. And having things like 3 feet away, not even 3 feet away, like 3 inches away from my eyes for a long period of time on those planes was not.
Yeah, not they're the bright, best. So it hurts your. It hurts eventually when you're
right. Yeah. And there's small text in Plague Inc. because there's a lot of information that's going on, and I just it was good, but I could have spent way more time. It would have been better on an iPad, and that's honestly. So that's the issue with. The laptop situation is that if I had an iPad instead of a laptop, I would have used the iPad well more than I used my laptop or my phone, I think.
Now, you couldn't just put your laptop on top of the food thing, the food
I could, tray? I could, but my laptop's fairly big. That's the issue, is that my laptop's 15 inches.
And that was bigger than for that's big for economy? Damn, you must have been in a small plane, man.
No, it was a fairly large plane, but economy is the cheapest. So you only have your meal thing is about maybe 10 inches, 10 inches. So having a 15-inch laptop on a 10-inch tray.
You could do it.
I could do it, but it wouldn't be ideal and it wouldn't look good. It would basically be, I've done it before on shorter flights, but on a longer flight, I think it's not as acceptable, especially because there's people trying to sleep and stuff and having this ginormous screen.
I thought they were talking all the time, Quinn.
No, they were crying all the time, Chase.
Quinn is racist now towards a certain group of people.
Well, yeah. So in addition, to needing games to play, I didn't sleep a lot. I only slept like 3 hours in total on both flights. That's including both flights. I only slept like 3 to 4 hours. So I really was hurting, desperate for this stuff. But I'm going to move on to another game. And this one, honestly, is so unique, and it's not just a iOS game. It's called Sayonara Wild Hearts. Now, this game is crazy, and it's pretty much, I think, What the Golf and Sayonara Wild Hearts and potentially Plague Inc. are what indie games should be. Sayonara Wild Hearts is this like crazy, colorful, musical platforming thing where you are this woman who rides motorcycles, skateboards, dances, or just like weird gymnastics, yoga stuff, and you have to hit these like crystal diamond things in the sky, and it syncs up with the music, and then you have like other women chasing you down trying to fight you, but in a very musically executed way. And the game changes constantly in terms of how it's presenting your goals and the mechanics. Like, it goes just like What the Golf, it can go from 2D to 3D to like this weird isometric view to it just is all over the place in terms of how it's portrayed, and it's so goddamn cool. It's a little bit flamboyant at times, but it is so cool.
I'm wondering if it's a what do you call it? Steam game. Or is it only iOS?
No, it's on other platforms. I don't know if it's on Steam. We're probably
it's not on Epic.
Sayonara Wild Hearts. Let's check it out. It's on Switch. It's on PlayStation 4. It's on Mac, iOS, and that's it. Wow.
That is
That's a weird selection of platforms, yeah.
Like, why would you pick Mac, first of all? What's the percentage of the population that even uses Macs compared to PC people?
It's probably like 25-30% or something.
Yeah, it's not very high.
But it's also the rich people.
Fucking rich people.
So it's so weird because I think also let me double check this. I don't know if I can in this amount of time, but I think the whole game is based on an album. Like, I think the game was made at the same time as this album for the game, like this soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this pop electronic album where the game was designed behind with that in mind. Like, it won a bunch of awards for soundtrack and indie games with music, et cetera, et cetera. It's just so interesting. It's so interesting. If you have the time, Chase, and the will.
I'm too efficient at my work, it seems. I got in trouble for that, so.
Ooh.
For being
too
efficient.
You're
going to
get fired because you're too good.
I'm not kidding. Like, today, for example, they finally had a KPI, which is like my key performance indicator to see how you're doing. Do you have those all the time?
Yeah. Well, it's for everything. Yeah. It's very business-y. Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I'm going to compare you towards everyone else in the office and like how you're doing. So he puts my butt number and it says, okay, out of all the tickets that you do about 19.63% of them. And there are 8 people in the office that do work on it. Okay.
You basically carry other
I carry
people.
A fifth of it right now. He's like, now this is that's really good because your goal is to get to 12.5% or above, right?
Right.
So, but the thing is, if we compare the other two people, they're only doing about 10 or 11% of the work. So you need to relax on the tickets a little bit and let them do it so that you can do quote unquote harder ones or something like that.
Right.
I've only worked for a little bit over a month, and I'm doing as many tickets as I can because I'm like, well, it gives me something to do. Because honestly, for about 4 hours, I shit you not, I'm like on my phone or doing something else because I do it so quickly. I'm like, okay, done. What was my point? My point is that I have time to play games.
Right.
I hope my boss never hears this.
Well, so the thing is that you have to learn that people at work don't work. That's the whole half of working is not working. Like, honestly, that's what it is. It's half of working is pretending you're working and doing other things.
Right. But if my half of work is more efficient than everybody else's and I'm not working the other half, I don't get it.
Then maybe you got to do a quarter of work. Maybe everyone's just doing a quarter of work, you know?
I don't.
Maybe 75% of work is not working at that office.
I don't know. I don't even, like, at one point I was like, assigning myself tickets, and then I just stopped. I was like, well, maybe I'm taking too many before right. I even talked to him. And I was like, but people just assign me, or I go like, oh, I think I know how to do this. Do you want me to do it, or are you good? And they're like, you do it, Chase. I'm like, fuck. And then
maybe I'm too fucking 20%. Nice. Yeah. That could be it too.
But anyways,
yeah. Moving on. The point is that if you have the free time, which it sounds like you sometimes do, I would get the free month of Apple Arcade and try out a lot of these games. They're really cool.
Yeah, I'm more okay with playing iOS games or things like that, because I don't know how people would feel if I play it, just took out my PlayStation or something and just started playing.
Well, yeah, that's not happening.
It looks a little worse than the phone.
Right. So moving on to another game is Skate City. Because I downloaded it because I like skating games, and, you know, Skate City is a skating game. Skate City, pretty good. I think it was good in the sense that...
Was it as good as Skate 4?
No, it's never going to be as good as skate games. The thing is that... So all skateboarding games, especially 2D skateboarding games, they're all pretty much the same. But oftentimes they're garbage. Like they all have the same mechanics where it's 2D and you just jump, except for like Ollie Ollie, which is a indie skateboarding game. But that's more of it's less skateboarding and more platforming, but in reverse. Like in normal platforming, you're meant to jump on the platforms. In Ollie Ollie, you're meant to like slam down and ride the platforms because they're rails and do tricks, etc.
This game looks pretty nice for a iOS game. It has a very nice look to it.
That's a very common theme for a lot of these Apple Arcade games, especially because, you know, surprisingly, they held onto a lot of these games until Apple Arcade release. So if you check actually the dates of when a lot of these games released on iOS, it's September 19th, 2019. All of them. Not all of them, but the vast majority released on the same day. So it's just like Apple put out a ton of really good content and said, hey, $4.99. I think that was really smart on their part. And Skate City, like I said, it's a normal skateboard game, but it looks really nice on iOS and it plays really well, a lot better than shitty skateboarding games, especially on iOS and mobile devices. You'll see a lot of like crappy skateboarding games just because people like skateboarding and they want to make a quick buck. But this is pretty good. It's actually, you know, it's quality, especially for the price of free / $4.99. So it was good. I also downloaded a couple RPGs. There's one called Oceanhorn 2, and there's one called Cat Quest 2. Both of which are pretty typical in terms of what you can expect from, I don't know, RPGs on mobile. Oh, wow. The only thing about them for me is that the problem was I don't like controlling things with touch if it's like an RPG where you have to press like attack buttons and movement buttons. And I did have a solution to this. Okay, and if you do not know this, Chase, here's a pro tip, okay?
Get a controller.
Yeah, so a DualShock 4 controller works on your phone.
That's fucking nuts. I did not know that. Do you like use DS4 iOS?
No. It's straight up Bluetooth. It instantly connects, instantly works.
Holy shit, that's pretty cool.
Right, so And the thing is, a lot of games, surprisingly, straight up want you to use a controller. Skate City, it plays better on a controller. Binding of Isaac, I haven't even used touch controls. I've only used a controller. Problem with Cat Quest 2 and Oceanhorn 2 is that I never used a controller. Even though I believe I looked up a lot of games, and I believe both of these actually are capable of using a controller.
Mm-hmm.
The reason was is that the main problem I had with playing games on the plane was that there's no way to hold it at eye level without physically holding it in your hand. So
you need to buy like a something to attach to your arm to extend it to your face or something like that.
So there are attachments, like third-party accessories, where you can have your it clips onto your DS4 controller and will clip to your phone. And so you're just holding the controller and it will be at controller height.
Smart though.
Yeah, which is smart. But I didn't realize how smart it was when I decided to do this setup, so I didn't buy one. And that's what made me play What the Golf so much.
Compared to others, yeah, I can see.
Compared to other games, and even Skate City, because like it's easier to do like flip motions with your fingers as well. It's just, I'm stupid. These games, Cat Quest 2, Oceanhorn 2, even others, probably played a lot better with a controller. I didn't even play Binding of Isaac on the plane. I only played it off the plane because I could not play it without a controller.
I mean, Cat Quest 2 is on other platforms besides iOS, so that might make sense why it has the compatibility
right
with your...
Even Stardew Valley. I didn't buy Stardew Valley because it doesn't support full controller support, meaning when you go into your inventory and stuff, I think you still are required to use touch controls to manage items. That might not be true, but when I was looking at reviews online, people were using the controller, but when they went into their inventory, they were moving things by hand. So I think that's it. Honestly, it blew my mind once I found out that you could use your controller, because that to me makes mobile gaming that much more edible. Like, I hate mobile gaming. Okay?
Yes, you do.
I despise it. I don't think, in my head before this, I thought there is no good mobile games. But it turns out there are a lot of good mobile games. You just really need to be prepared
when shitty games.
Well, not only that, but like I think Apple Arcade has actually, there's a lot of good games, right? But it also is for someone who is a mobile gamer, meaning they're bringing a controller with them when they want to play mobile games.
Yeah, it's like playing on the Switch. So
right.
It sounds like, I think maybe that's why the Switch is doing so well, is that it has that capability where it's really easy to, bring a small item to play with a controller. I guess that's why like the Nintendo 3DS does really well and whatnot.
Right.
But you know
right.
What makes the Switch really cool is the fact that you can, as you said, connect a controller to it. So like, you know how you can connect a controller to your iOS screen? Well, yeah. Now you can do this with the Switch, where you can connect a controller to it and not just the Joy-Cons. Because I don't like that wide grip thing that we do with the Switch and the Nintendo 3DS.
Right. That's always been there, Chase. You could always connect a controller.
Yes, but I'm saying that this is what I really like about this idea of gaming with a controller, and this it seems like with the Switch it became a lot more famous to do something like that, because I don't think you could have done it with the Game Boy Advance, or you never could
right
have done
well
this
so
with,
for the Switch in particular. I know this is, we're going on a tangent, but the Switch in particular, the reason why they had people have a controller is because it's from the Wii. People hated using
Very much
the
so.
Wii Nunchuck and Wiimote to play like RPGs and stuff. So they had a controller released that you can plug in. So they had three generations of console to figure out, we need to have Bluetooth controllers accessible for the Switch, because no one's going to, like, people who are actually want to play more serious games, quote unquote, like Legend of Zelda, etc., are going to want a dedicated controller rather than Joy-Cons.
Yeah, the only thing I wish that the Switch would allow you to do is, since nowadays I don't feel like it matters what controller you use, you know, they would allow you to use a DualShock 4 controller. Because, like, I'm playing Pokemon Sword right now.
Right.
On the Switch, and I would so much more enjoy using the DualShock 4 controller just because I'm so used to where the buttons are. Like, right. The A button, where you normally say yes to everything, is where the circle button is on the DualShock 4 controller. And so I get those mixed up when I play on the DualShock or the Switch. The Switch controller. So, yeah, it would be nice to have the same thing as, like, how iOS has it, where you can just connect any controller, essentially, you want.
Right.
It's a dream.
And honestly, I think... So, you don't even have to use a DS4 Windows controller for your phone, either. Like, they have the things where you can basically make it a Switch, right? There, you can have things where you slide controllers on both sides, and you play it like a Switch. And I think... If I was a kid, right, growing up now, that would be awesome to just have, you could have a little small controller attachment to put on your phone, and you could play full-on games, quality games, Binding of Isaac, Stardew Valley, Oceanhorn 2 is getting a lot of great reviews, Sayonara is a really good game, What the Golf, all these games.
Fortnite.
Okay. Like, there's a lot of quality games that can be played and are even specific to iOS, or, like, limited to iOS and, like, one console. And you can, it's all at the touch of your fingertips. All you need is to have a third-party controller set up, and boom, you are now have a mobile console with you. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, the fact that you didn't have to put in money to get a controller is very nice with the iOS, how versatile it is.
The DS4 Windows is great, but I'm talking about DS4 Windows is, or not DS4 Windows,
DS4
the
DualShock.
DualShock 4 controller is great, but that means you have to carry a controller and your phone. I'm saying they have things where that attach to your phone and make it look like a Switch, so you just have to bring your phone.
What you're saying. I'm just saying the fact that you
that's crazy
just,
to it, me.
That it's versatile.
Right, it's so much more versatile than, like, to me now. It's like, oh, I never need to get a Switch. Or a Switch Lite, because
unless you want to play actual Nintendo games.
Yeah, if I want to, besides having exclusives, like, in terms of mobile gaming, I sold mobile gaming as not a thing, unless you had, like, a...
you thought it was, like, a gimmick that would die, maybe, or something like that?
No, unless you had a Nintendo DS or something, like a mobile console, quote-unquote, the types of games that I was playing on my iPhone... were garbage. All the premium stuff, the whatever you have, Pokemon Masters, all that bullshit.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
There are actually quality games on here, and you can play them with a controller, and that blew my mind. And I am so upset that I wasn't prepared to have a good experience with this on a plane. And I highly recommend, if you have any long flight or any flight of any length, or even if you just like playing on the go, I recommend not only Apple Arcade and try it out for a month, but getting one of those controller setups, because goddamn, that would make this so much more enjoyable. And it does. When I played Binding of Isaac with a controller, it was just Binding of Isaac. I was playing Binding of Isaac without my computer, which is, I know it's not a crazy game to play.
Still
on
a good game.
I just mean in terms of, that wasn't even in my head, right? That wasn't in my head that, oh, Binding of Isaac is on the iPhone. I can just use my controller and go on the go. That's so cool. That's so cool.
All right, do you got anything else to say about playing games and your joyride?
The last thing I want to say is, and this is more of a discussion, is that I have a feeling game subscriptions are going to be the future, whether we like it or not.
Oh, 100% agree.
And I'm concerned.
It's not a discussion, Quinn. It's the truth. Everything's been subscription based, and I think Hulu and Netflix are doing fairly well.
So Netflix is actually not. It's not doing well because there are so many other subscriptions coming out. Like just came out.
I mean, okay,
no, like, but that's not the point. Netflix stock is dipping. But yes. But the main thing is that it had never occurred to happen in games. I mean, Humble Bundle has had a subscription in that sense, but it's never been a platform-wide thing. Like, you can, for any, if you are interested in phone games, you can now pay $5 and get the best ones at mm-hmm. any point. If you are interested in EA games, you now can subscribe to an EA subscription service where you can play all their games instantly the moment they come out. If you want to play Xbox games on your computer or your Xbox, you pay a set amount and you can get the newest exclusives instantly. That is a new thing, especially for games, and that is going to be, it's going to be crazy once it takes over.
I agree. I think that in the future, everything's going to be subscription-based, and I'm going to kill some dogs on the way. But the point of it is that this is the new era. Even though Stadia isn't going to probably do well with its subscription-like
base. There's a whole lot of complaints about Stadia that we need to talk about.
That's going to be another episode. But I think that some form of future that is working with video games at right now is some form of downloading of games and then a subscription based for that. I think that works a heck of a lot better than what it is right now, which is doing streams.
It's not there yet, but I think, the option of going to full on cloud-based streaming of games compared to subscription services, I think subscription services has already won. It's already here. It's already working. I don't think streaming might be the next step in 15 years or something where people are now streaming their games and it's a commonplace thing. Right. But right now, it's not. We're not there.
I agree. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I think we're on the same page because we've talked about this so much about...
I think the only thing left to say is thank you for listening to our ranting and raving, especially mine. I haven't had any sleep, so if I've gone a little crazy, I'm sorry about that. Thank you for... If you made it this far, thank you for dealing with Chase's dogs, or maybe lack thereof, depending on how much he's edited this.
Yeah, it's going to be a fuck ton.
It's going to be a fuck ton.
I have at least 20 instances I have to deal with. Oh, 21.
21. Anyways, tweet us at BS Gamers Podcast on Twitter. Let us know your thoughts on mobile games. Do you like Apple Arcade? I know Google has their own subscription service for their phones. Is that something you're interested in? Do you like Android? Do you like Apple? Tell us. Let us know everything. If you want to do us a favor, you can leave us a 5-star review on whichever podcast platform you listen to us. The only exception is if you're looking to leave us a little bit lower than a 5-star review, please consider going to Twitter. Tell us your concerns. Tell us what we can improve on, and we'll try our darndest to do just that. Chase, thank you for being here. Quinn, thank you for being here. That is BSG. We'll see you next week.
Talk to you guys later.